Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullop, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning. It is Thursday, November 19th, week 36.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I did. It's been a couple of days.
My initial thought was like, whoa, Thanksgiving is next week. And then,
well, that's true too.
I couldn't get out of that thought process.
Yeah. There you go. Anyway, it's great to see everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for tuning in and joining us. We have a great show again today. We're going to share some great local information with you. A great guest lined up. Jason Sandell is going to be speaking with us again. He is part of the New Mexico Economic Recovery Council. And certainly has been talking with others on that council and with some of the governor's people about these new public health orders and things like that. So we're looking forward to talking to him as well.
Great.
So there you go.
Good.
Exactly. Your week's going good?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
All is crazy because, you know, I work in healthcare now.
Yes, you do.
So It's a little weird.
But you're staying safe.
Yeah.
And that's good.
We're safer there than we are, you know.
Almost anywhere
I think that's at this probably point, because we have so much gear, yeah.
That's excellent. Well, yeah. Very good. Well, why don't we go to our guest, who is waiting,
yes.
Because I want to keep him waiting, but we're very thrilled to have Jason Sandell joining us once again, as I mentioned, from the Governor's Economic Recovery Council. He is joining us this morning on a video link, which I'm very excited about, that appears to be working, and let's just make sure. Jason Sandell, there he is. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Megan. How are you all today?
We are good, thank you. Or I'll speak for myself, but
we've
already determined Megan's good too.
Yes.
But great to see you. And so I guess to start with, Jason Sandell, talk to me a little bit about the council. You are still meeting and you are still being able to, I guess, make suggestions to maybe not the governor personally, but folks on her team as she takes into account some of these public health orders.
That's right, Scott. So there's 15 of us on the Economic Recovery Council, and we're spending probably 20 hours a week meeting and discussing what it is that we can do to open New Mexico back up. And obviously, we've had some setbacks, but we're still doing the work of talking about COVID-safe practices and doing what we can to get our economy going again.
Very good. And so with that being said, Jason, talk to me a little bit about these latest public health orders, because certainly, you know, folks who are watching and listening to us would be saying and screaming at their radio, well, we're not opening back up, we're shutting back down temporarily, we hope, because our numbers are just out of control.
Certainly. Well, you know, we have 70,451 cases thus far, and I think you said 36 weeks just a minute ago. I think that the more, the scarier number is 776 current hospitalizations. Of course, there are 49 at San Juan Regional Medical Center. Just 2 or 3 weeks ago when I checked that number, which they post daily on their website, there were 9 positive inpatients at San Juan Regional, and today there are 49, or at least last night when I checked. There have been 1,290 people that have lost their lives, and our positivity rate right now is at 9% and just really headed through the roof. And so those numbers have left our governor with little choice, in fact, no choice, but to come back in with a revised public health order. And there's been a couple just in the past couple of days, but a revised public health order that is requesting that we put things on pause for a couple of weeks and really ask folks to stay home. And we can get into the meat of those public health orders, but that's really the basic thrust.
Yeah, and that actually might answer this question, because we're talking about how unpredictable and quickly things can change and surge and ebb and flow. My question is about leadway time. So if I was a business owner and I found out on Friday that come Monday our capacity is changing again, we're shutting down again, has there ever been any consideration on how much leadway time we can give when it comes to these public health orders? Like maybe a few more days or a week would have been more appropriate?
Yeah, Megan, we actually have active conversations along those lines, particularly with restaurants who have inventory in place. So, you know, I mean, for instance, a restaurant will buy a week's worth of food, and you know, now they're stuck with the inventory in many cases. And so it's a significant concern. And yet at the same time, the governor felt that it was necessary to step in quickly, very quickly, in this particular case, just because our numbers were going through the roof.
Understood. And Jason Sandell, with some of this other information about the new public health order, it sounds like there's a little bit more, I don't know, about wiggle room of trying to keep some places open. Curbside delivery, those types of things, without shutting everything down, maybe as much as we saw maybe back in the spring. We saw, as you mentioned, kind of the revision to the public health order just that came out, I think, just yesterday, with some of the big box stores, and you know, kind of making the decision that you've got to be serving food and beverages and things like that, or you need to go to curbside delivery as well. Is that all, I guess, part of these conversations that you and the council has with the governor's folks about, you know, how to keep some things moving and still be safe about it?
Absolutely, Scott. You'll remember that we talked in the past that essential services were really defined originally based upon a 9/11 order that was put into place after the 9/11 attacks, really defining essential services, but really critical infrastructure for our nation. It included oil and gas. It included convenience stores, gasoline distributorships, and grocery stores. And what we saw in the first round of closures was that there was a disparity with a good number of big box retailers that stayed open under that exemption. And so we've had a lot of conversation at the Economic Recovery Council level around making sure that we're leveling the playing field. If we are going to close, that those services and those stores truly do need to be the essential services, so that we don't have businesses taking advantage of the circumstances. And so you saw that from the governor, where she clarified that really a retailer that is allowed for in-person services has to have a third of its revenue from food. That was the order that was extended yesterday. There was also another lesson from early on, which was that we need to do everything that we can to keep as many businesses open as possible. And a strategy to do as much is to allow for curbside pickup or delivery. And so this order also recognized that and provided that exemption. So, you know, the Economic Recovery Council is doing what we can to advise on how we can stay open. And I feel like the governor's office is listening.
Yeah, I would agree. And of course, we have a skyrocketing job loss and unemployment. That's really just an unfortunate, tragic fruit of this whole thing. So my question is, as we see these certain jobs being taken away, or at least taken away temporarily, are there other jobs that are now opening up? Is there sort of this swap effect where now these circumstances call for this new job market, and is there job training for that?
I know that the Department of Workforce Solutions provided us a briefing yesterday, and they were ready and prepared for a massive onslaught of unemployment filings at the beginning of this week as the new health order was rolled out. They haven't seen those unemployment filings yet, but are anticipating that they could possibly come in. The hardest hit sectors have been hospitality, which includes hotels and restaurants, obviously because of tourism. And then also our oil and gas sector has been hit really hard across the state as well. And there is a significant focus on what it is that we can do to do additional job training and look for opportunities for other employment for folks across the state. A bright spot, to tell you the truth, is that as cities have been closing down and people have learned that they're able to work from home, telework, then people are actually moving to more rural areas of the nation, and New Mexico is a prime target for folks to move and continue to telework, no different than if they were in an apartment in New York City. So there are some changing dynamics in our economy that we still need to watch very closely and keep our finger on the pulse of, but that doesn't in any way minimize the devastating impact that has been felt by businesses and individuals across the state.
Good point. And you sound like a real estate agent, Jason Sandell, but that's okay. And that's what they have told us as well. And I know maybe an area of job growth during all this would be...
Real estate agent?
I'm sorry, what's that?
I said I've been accused of a lot of things before, but real estate agent?
Well, there's another one for your list. Yeah, there you go. And as far as job growth goes, I suppose, and not to make light of this, but I think there's still a need for contact tracers with all of this to fill some positions. But I wanted to ask you, too, about the watch list that has been unveiled, too, from the Environment Department. And that, to me, Jason Sandell, seems like another way to try to maybe talk about some of these outbreaks in more contracted terms and not having to maybe shut down an entire county, or to tell the public and to be transparent about where these cases are happening in our communities, what businesses are having trouble, and to just shut those individual businesses down temporarily so they can take the necessary response and then reopen after 2 weeks. Does that, again, that seems to be another kind of new approach as we see our cases increase, is by having these watch lists and by having the state share that information with the public on a daily basis.
Yeah, Scott, I think that that's a great point. And I'll just really give a shout out to Secretary Kenny with the Environment Department, who also houses our OSHA compliance division here in the state of New Mexico. He's done an incredible job. And one of the key points that the Economic Recovery Council talks about pretty frequently is enforcement. We can have all of the rules that we want, and the majority of businesses and people can follow the rules. But if there are bad actors out there, then unfortunately, this virus continues to spread at uncontrollable rates. And so the Environment Department through OSHA, you know, put this watch list out there as a result of their rapid responses. And the rapid responses are really designed to take the contact tracing information, get it to as many people that have been impacted as quickly as possible, get them into quarantine, get them tested, such that we can prevent spread. And so Secretary Kenny has been real clear that rapid response and the entire program is about working together with the state. But if there are those bad actors, the people that are intentionally not following the rules, then the state's going to step in and force some closures in order for us all to be safe.
Very good. Well, you know, we know that this is a very, very trying time and a very unpredictable and insecure time for all of the working folk in New Mexico. And we also know that you guys have a similar empathy and compassion for that problem. We know you guys are working around the clock. We thank you so much, Jason, for coming on, giving us the meat of the situation and speaking very articulately and clearly about what's going on over there. So hats off to you guys, and thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Megan. I appreciate that. Can I give just one last plug? I
of
mean,
course.
it looks like we might be moving toward a situation where there's going to be county by county closures. It's something that's being investigated. It's something that's being done in Colorado. And so it's really going to take all of us working together to follow the rules and make sure that San Juan County is a leader in opening up businesses. And Northwestern New Mexico is a leader in opening up businesses rather than a laggard. And it's going to take folks staying home, wearing their masks, social distancing, washing their hands. And a point that I think is real important that I spread at the Economic Recovery Council regularly is businesses doing temperature checks. I think that it's not going to catch everybody, but if we're doing temperature checks, then we can identify those who are expressing or displaying symptoms. And it's really going to take some strong effort from each individual, each business, and our community to make sure that we're doing the right thing so that we can open up. So just a final pitch.
That's a good point. And I think, too, Jason Sandell, isn't it true, though, that also it could be a county-by-county closure, but it could also be a county-by-county reopening, too, right? I think that's part of this plan as well.
That's very much the idea, Scott, is to get local communities, cities and counties, to enroll and sign on to the COVID safe practices as well as the enforcement and work together with the state so that then as we perform better, then businesses are able to open up. So it's really designed to be an opportunity for businesses to a pathway for businesses to open.
Well, I think that's a good change, and as we see these cases increasing in a lot of other areas of our state, I think it makes sense to not to be able to do it statewide and to allow some regions that are maybe doing a little better job of controlling the spread to reopen before some of the other more serious areas. So we hope everyone will work together, and this will be short-lived. But Jason Sandell, as Megan said, we appreciate your time very much.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you, Megan. Really appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. That is Jason Sandell. He is a member of the state's Economic Recovery Council that talks, as he mentioned, with the governor's staff on a pretty regular basis, joining us on our COVID-19 community information program this morning on KSJE. So we appreciate that. Good information.
Yeah, I love, you know me, I love to talk about economics, et cetera. And so
yes, you do.
It's very helpful to hear straight from the horse's mouth, not that I'm calling Jason a horse.
Please don't. I already called him a real estate agent, so please don't.
These things are comparable. No,
yes, but we
love our
it.
Real estate agents out there, too.
We do indeed. We do indeed. But anyway, but good information. And as Jason was mentioning, some of the numbers that we are seeing, and we can talk a little bit about those when we talk about the numbers and the things that were happening. So let's go to the testing, because we like to do that and remind folks where the tests are going to be. Tomorrow here at San Juan College, again, we remind folks you can come for a COVID test, 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. on Saturday. They're going to be out at McGee Park, which is a newer location, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. And, of course, next week is a holiday week, so things are a little bit different. Monday, twice here at San Juan College in the morning and in the afternoon, so 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. at the college on Monday the 23rd, and again in the afternoon from 3 to 4:30 p.m. on the 23rd here at San Juan College, and a Tuesday testing session here at the college in the afternoon from 3 p.m. to 4:30, and Wednesday, November 25th, we'll be out at McGee Park, 8 a.m. to 9:30, and then again on Friday at McGee Park, 8 a.m. to 9:30.
Very good.
So that's important for folks to kind of realize and take advantage of, because, again, this is how we understand what's going on, who's sick, and you know, and how it's spread.
That's right. Get your Black Friday COVID test.
Hey, there you go. Could be a new tradition.
I hear it's half off this year. Yeah.
Right. It's free. It's free.
Yeah.
But there you go. So anyway, let's talk about the other numbers, right? From Johns Hopkins, we've reached another gruesome milestone.
Yeah, we have. So we now have 11,538,104 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the United States alone, and we have 250,579 confirmed deaths in the United States alone, and that is a new milestone.
Right, and yikes. Yeah. I mean, just
when we get up to even numbers, it does seem something about that. I don't know if it's like our brains, but when it every time it reaches like an even number milestone, we're like, ugh.
Right.
And it is devastating.
Right, exactly. Well, and again, we were talking about this. We've been talking about this for 36 weeks. And, you know, a lot of folks back in the spring were saying the projections are 250,000 deaths in the country. And it just seemed unfathomable back then. And here we are.
And it's scary because we don't have this clear end in sight. So. No.
Although there is maybe light at the end of the long, dark tunnel, which we'll be talking about later. But still, we're still in this, and the numbers are not going down. And that's the next set of things I want to share with everybody about where we're at. Again, another daily record in New Mexico yesterday with new cases, 2,897. And we're now at another, well, there's your even number, 70,451 cases in New Mexico. And it wasn't that long ago that we only had 60,000. But we've had almost 1,000 new cases a day, if not more. Here's almost 3,000 new cases a day. San Juan County had 45 new cases, again, higher than we have seen. We had been in the single digits for a very long time, and now they are really creeping up. As Jason Sandell said, the hospital has a number of cases, and we'll get an update on Monday. But we're now at 4,561, 26 additional deaths across New Mexico. Again, these are record high numbers on daily numbers, because normally we've seen maybe four deaths in our state, maybe zero a couple of days in a row, and now we have 26 per day, and that is a tragedy. 1,290 fatalities across our state. None of those came from San Juan County. We're grateful for that. But another 497 recoveries, and we celebrate those as well.
That's right.
Awesome news for 26,338 recoveries. On the Navajo Nation, we can go to KSJE.com and show you there. They're seeing high numbers as well, everybody. 135 new cases reported yesterday. 8 additional deaths from the Navajo Nation. That is high from what we have seen. A total now of 13,880 cases across the Navajo Nation. And so again, they are going into a 3-week lockdown, stay-at-home situation. And as we mentioned, a lot of their businesses are only able to stay open until 3 p.m. in the afternoon, but they'll be under a stay-at-home lockdown until December 6th. So that's what's happening on the Navajo Nation. And then another story I wanted to point out is from our neighbors to the north in La Plata County. Colorado does things a bit differently. They have a dial system and a colored system, and you can see it there on the screen, right? You've got green, blue, yellow, orange, and red. And La Plata County is now at level red, which is the highest, although I did see another graphic that showed purple, which is beyond red. So it's even worse.
Because it's red plus blue.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Ergo.
But even worse, apparently. I thought they were at the top, but apparently they've got one more extreme way that they could go. But anyway, La Plata County is going to level red. That means a lot of other kind of shutdowns, no indoor dining, it's takeout only, curbside, those types of things. And they've had an outbreak. Part of the problem in La Plata County is that they've had an outbreak at public services that have really cut back. There was an outbreak at the sheriff's office and the dispatch center, and that impacts public safety. And so that is, I think, why we're seeing the red so bad. The cases maybe aren't as high, but it's the spread in some of these really essential
critical services.
Services, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're talking about. So there you go. So there's that for everyone.
Sobering news.
Sharing that. And again, we're getting that information from our website at KSJE.com. The other thing we talked to Jason Sandell about was the watch list, which of course is coming out daily from the state environment department. So here's the latest cases on the watch list. And I want to make clear, because I think some folks are seeing it differently. These aren't, when you see it like a 2 or a 3 or a 5, those aren't a number of COVID positive cases. Those are rapid responses. So that just means that they've had a case and now they're contacting and contact tracing all those different people that came into contact. So it may be more than just one case at these businesses. Does that make sense?
It does, although I think it bears repeating.
Yeah. So these are rapid responses to these businesses. And so again, if a business has 4 rapid responses or more in a 2-week period, they have to shut down.
Right.
So it's not 4 cases, it's 4 rapid responses.
And that means contract tracing.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So we can see our list is getting larger now. But again, these are not shut down. These businesses are not shut down. City of Farmington said 2 rapid responses. Dillard's, 2. I Associates of New Mexico, 2. Farmington Fire Department, 2. Treadworks, 2. The Walmart Supercenter on West Main Street had 5. They are shut down. The Walmart Supercenter on East Main Street has had 3, and Kirtland Middle School has had 2.
Okay.
And so these are on the Environment Department's website, and then if you click over to the next tab, there are the rapid response closures, and then you can see which businesses closed and when they would reopen. And as you can see, that is the West Main Walmart, and they are planning to reopen by the 21st.
So Saturday.
There's that. Okay. Exactly. So they've been closed for 2 weeks. So there's that. And we share that with you. And again, we appreciate the Environment Department making that transparent. So we also want to talk about grocery stores today.
We do.
Because, again, people are stocking up. And I don't know, I think there's a roll of toilet paper left in the city. But
don't use scare tactics.
Well, I don't think
there
is.
You're going to freak everybody out.
I think the shelves are empty again.
Yeah.
So people need to kind of think about their neighbor.
They kind of think about their neighbor.
All right.
They
people,
need
please
to think
about your neighbor.
Your neighbor, please.
All right, thank you.
Yes. Gosh.
The conscience of KSJE.
Jeez. Nothing will make you take a hard look at human nature like a pandemic.
Well, that's true.
That's, gosh, words you never thought you'd say in your life, right?
That should be on a t-shirt.
I've considered it.
Okay.
Unsurprisingly.
Right. Yeah. So what's going on? We talked to a manager at one of the grocery stores in town. And by we, I mean you.
Me, yes. So Jason Chappell is a manager at Smith's in town. And he really wanted to be here today, but Smith's has had such difficulty retaining their managers for various reasons that we don't have to go into, but it means that he's like the only dude on the front line over there. So it was hard for him to steal away. So we sent him questions ahead of time.
Okay.
And he was generous enough to answer it.
Okay.
So a couple of those questions were, how do we determine limits on products? How do they
determine limits on products?
Yes.
They meaning Smiths.
Good
not
point.
Us.
Gosh.
Because I would say
words.
Toilet paper for everybody.
It's week 36 and my words are leaving me. Leaving
it's okay.
me. Okay. And
you have so much information you want to share. It's all coming out at once.
It is. I'm super excited to share all this information. Okay. But so how do they
Yes. How do they decide
unbelievable.
Limits? So how do they?
How do they?
Let's go there first.
Well, and let's talk about it's also that relates to how many people are in the store, right? So at Smith's, they use a program called Q-Vision that allows them to predict how many registers they need open at any given time. This is what's cool, and I had no idea. This is like Jetsons level technology here. They use body heat sensors to determine the number of bodies in the store at any given time. Since some states have seen capacity reductions in the amount of people in their store, Kroger, which is the company that owns Smith's, has altered the programming to give them a visual display of how many people are in the store. And it makes a point to mention it's smart technology, which I would agree.
Sure. Well, I think they've always had like cameras and things like that. Mm-hmm. This is probably just another filter on that technology.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Predator. Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
That was all about the body.
Okay.
Heat. Anyway.
Right.
Okay. And I asked about, of course, mask mandates and safety mandates. And he's quick to mention, of course, that Smith & Kroger's takes the health and well-being of customers and employees very, very seriously. And so anyone entering the store must be wearing a mask. And that comes directly from the corporate office. He did mention that generally speaking, 99% of shoppers are being civil, adhering to the mandates, which
okay.
is...
Okay, glad to hear that.
Glad to hear that.
Stay classy, Farmington. Good.
Stay
good
classy.
Good job with us. Go us.
Yeah. In some instances, of course, people are not, and
that's
unfortunately...
That 1%.
That would be that 1%.
That loud 1%.
Which I could ask you to do the math. If we allow 75 people into the store and 95 are being civil, how many people are not being civil?
Oh, a small number.
Yeah, no, it's too much for me, too.
I don't know.
That was
someone will
ambush.
Do it and tell us.
Yeah.
Someone will do the math.
Mathy people out there, let
there
us know.
There you go. But yeah.
It should be zero, but it's not. And so, unfortunately, on occasion, they've had to forcibly remove people who are not following the guidelines, which... Unfortunately, that's a good idea.
Right. Well, to keep it safe for everybody else.
Yeah, we can't be
the other 95%
messing this around. So he's quick to mention that using the Q-Vision system, that would be the body heat detection system, that it has been modified since this whole thing began to notify them when they are near their 75 individuals in the store mandate.
That's the new public health order. That they can only have a total of 75 people in the store. And I wonder if it's measuring body heat. Jason Sandell mentioned about the temperature checks. I wonder if it would it tell you if someone was feverish coming into the store?
This is a good follow-up question. I wish we had the other Jason here to answer that.
Well, anyway, I'm just curious.
Yeah. So when they're getting close to that 75 number, that's when they start the line. So when
I
you see
a line outside the store.
Yeah, that explains why sometimes there's a line and sometimes there isn't.
Gotcha.
And he is quick to mention, so this is really important, the online pickup department has, of course, skyrocketed. Now, I always used it even pre-pandemic because I'm all about convenience. So I'm all about ordering ahead of time, pulling in, load the car, leaving. But this means that they are working hard to expand their ambient staging areas.
Oh.
Fancy,
wow.
Right?
What does that mean?
It means that they've added more refrigeration and frozen staging so that they can keep up with those online pickups and your food won't spoil, of course.
We don't want that.
And so
more people are doing this, so they need to expand those.
Correct.
Those ways to get the food out the door to the waiting cars.
Correct. And the silver lining is that now online pickup is free after you to a certain level. Like if you pay it's like something like $60 or more of an order and it's free now, which is awesome. So he does mention that because of this huge boom in online sales, they are currently looking to hire 8 to 10 new associates within the next few days.
Oh, well, there's the jobs you were asking about.
I was asking about these jobs.
Okay.
So if you're in a position where you would like to apply, you can do that at smithsfoodanddrug.com. That is
nice. Well, and I would think too, that from what he was telling us as representative of Smith's and Kroger's, the other grocery stores are probably in the same boat and are doing much of the same. And maybe job openings at the other stores is, I guess, what I'm trying to say too. If folks are looking for work, they can investigate some of that stuff. So
correct.
There you go. Okay. Nice. Well, thank him when you talk to him again. I appreciate
taking
the time to answer our,
thank you, Jason.
Questions. So
yeah.
That's great. We want to open the phone lines today. We haven't really asked you all to call in and tell us how you're doing or make a comment. And
sorry, guys.
We'd like to know how you're doing. We hope everyone's doing well, but we would like to open the phone lines or make a comment on our Facebook video because it will show up here and we'll see it. And we can certainly talk to you a little bit.
Look at that crawl.
There it goes. Look at that.
We are so professional.
Like a real radio station.
Yeah, look at us.
But while you're thinking about maybe what you want to tell us, and just call in, you can call them, say hi. You can call them, say, hey, what kind of coat is that Megan's wearing? It looks really cool on camera.
Thank you.
You know, where'd you get that tie, Scott? Send it back. Whatever you want to say.
Send it back. Cool coat, bad tie.
Whatever you want to say. We would love to hear from you. And so we have a few minutes this morning to do that. In the meantime, though, while you're thinking about calling in, don't be shy. We want to talk about this other exciting news from one of the vaccine manufacturers.
Front runners. Don't you feel like it's like the new space race?
Well, it's been, right?
I mean,
I think that's true.
It is.
All summer long, people have been working on this. So we have now at least two manufacturers who said they've got a pretty effective vaccine. And Pfizer came out and said that there was 90% effective? We talked about this Monday.
94%. So Moderna on Monday, we spoke about them, and they had 94.5% of a success rate.
And Pfizer was a week ago.
Pfizer was a week ago at 90%.
That's right.
And now they're at 94%. And I know that sounds suspect to people, right? Because these companies are competing. That's how this works, and that is okay because it gets us good vaccines. But so there was a little suspicion there, like, oh, well, now that Moderna comes out and says it's 94.5% effective, now Pfizer's changing its tune. But really, all that's indicative of, and I read, of course, in a sundry of articles about this, is that this is the way that trials progress.
Mm-hmm.
So you gather new information over time. They were able to expand their sample size. Some of the results they were waiting on have now come back. And so they are in a position, along with Moderna, to submit their findings to the FDA for approval. Moderna was a little ahead of the curve on that. They already submitted. Pfizer is now in a place where they can submit. And this is really good news.
Right. And to authorize it for emergency use, I guess, is what the FDA would come back with, right?
Yeah.
But the other news was that Pfizer said that they had chosen New Mexico as one of the places where they wanted to begin pushing out these vaccines to people, right? And that's kind of the other interesting
thing
that we were looking at with some of the news stories, right?
Right. And
like this one on
United
the screen
States.
Right now from Reuters.
Yep. So what do we got? What are the four states here? We know New Mexico is one.
Yep. It'll scroll down and it'll show us here in a minute of the other ones. But they gave the reasons that they selected them. I think the population and some of the other things that they were looking at
as to
why they were picking these four states. And of course, Pfizer is the one that needs to be refrigerated at a really cold temperature.
Yes.
Their vaccine in order to be New Mexico, Tennessee. I saw there on the screen just briefly.
Yes.
Are two of the four. And let's see. As minus 94 degrees, Rhode Island, Texas, New Mexico, and Tennessee are the four states.
Okay.
For the rollout. But there you go. So yes. Anyway, so we will get obviously more information of how that's going to work in our state and what that means. But I think it's kind of exciting news.
And it's also cool. I mean, I always state this just because this is just a scientific revolution as well as a solution that can get us out of this thing and get us a little more back to normal, is that these two vaccines are the first of their kind because they're using a new technology.
Right.
Technology, synthetic mRNA is what it's called.
It's almost a genetic type of vaccine, right?
It's a trick
impact COVID
in a good way. Yes, it's replicating.
Well, and it's happened a lot faster than you. And if you use the traditional way of developing a vaccine, it would take a lot longer. We wouldn't be talking about that.
Well, and the efficiency rate is much higher.
Yeah. So
this is great news, and you know, my hope, and I think you know the hope of those who know more than I do, is that you can approve both vaccines, and then you can send both vaccines out into the world. It's not a matter of who's going to win. It's a matter of, hey, we got two options here. Good. Even more production line. Good. Even more hope for us. So
exactly. Well, and that's the thing is now, you know, once we get these vaccines approved, we need a lot of, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of doses to get 7 billion people inoculated.
Right.
So there you go.
And it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Indeed.
Country to country.
There you go. That's true. All right, everyone. We'd love to hear from you if you want to call in. 566-3909 is the number here at KSJE, 505-566-390.9, or make a comment on our Facebook page. We haven't really heard from everybody, you know, in a while. So there you go. Here's a comment about the race for the vaccine is our generation's Manhattan Project. That's probably true.
That's true, except the Manhattan Project.
So maybe a little more
led
positive.
To destruction. But they're right in the sense that it is a scientific.
Working together.
Well, working together and a Rubicon, like a scientific Rubicon, right? Yeah. The world was never the same after the Manhattan Project. And I think it's fair to say that the world is, well, it's already not the same, but there's going to be more superbugs out there. This new technology is a big deal. So
definitely a big deal.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably true. So and we've seen a lot of these things coming together. So anyway, that's good news. Thank you for the comment.
Yeah, thank you for the comment.
We appreciate that very much. And all right. Well, there you go. I think we've covered the show today.
Yes.
Right?
So yeah, special. We had the two Jasons.
The two Jasons.
We were joking about that all week.
That's right.
When's the first Jason calling?
That's
When's the second Jason calling?
That's right. The two Jasons. So there you go.
Thank you, both Jasons.
But thank you, everybody. We'll be back again on Monday, of course, with our COVID-19 Community Information Program. Just one show next week. We won't be here on Thanksgiving because we want everyone to be safe.
And eating.
And so I can't tear
What's
Megan away from the dining room table.
No, you can't. Nobody can tear me away from the dining room table. What is your favorite side dish before we wrap up?
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's a
weird question.
Well, it is a weird question.
Have you seen those maps where they
can
map
I say
out
all the, of them?
I guess.
Yeah.
You've seen the map, though, right? Where they're mapping out like each state's favorite side dish?
Yes.
And do you know what New Mexico's is? Have you been paying attention?
Apparently not.
Green bean casserole.
No.
Not my faves.
No?
Can you guess what my fave is?
Let me think about this for just a millisecond. Your favorite Thanksgiving side dish, cranberry sauce.
What? That's the worst pick. That's like saying my favorite pants are yoga pants. This is crazy. This is
after
crazy.
Thanksgiving, I whatever. Okay.
No, stuffing, no. Of course.
The stuffing.
The stuffing.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
A starch girl. What starch and gravy.
Now, what kind of stuffing? Because sometimes East Coasters like oyster stuffing or some really weird kind of stuffing.
I'm not no, they do. They really do. They try to throw in shellfish like any chance they get.
Right.
and other
the way the pilgrims did it.
Yeah. Other weird things. No, I'm a stovetop girl.
I see.
Yeah. When the pandemic started, I was like, I need shelf stable food, and then I got like 6 boxes of stuffing, which was excessive and weird, but it did hold to Thanksgiving.
There you
so
go. So you've
I'm
got
covered.
Plenty of stuffing. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to
so,
know.
Stuffing.
All right. There you go.
Not in the bird. I
no,
want to make that very
right.
clear.
You cook it separately.
I cook it separately because I also, as most of our viewers know by now, I think I'm a germaphobe. So
yes.
I'm not sticking anything in that turkey to cook it.
There you go. Very good. There's someone that agrees with you. Stop
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
There you are.
Cool. Okay.
Excellent. One more question before we go, which is a good question, and I appreciate that. Resources about supporting small businesses, and
yes.
And that's important.
We have this.
You know, next week is Black
the
Friday.
Deadline.
Small Business Saturday. Businesses are going to be
right.
Closed for
right.
the most part for in-person shopping. A lot of them are moving online, curbside pickup. We encourage all of that to support, you know, local businesses and to do it in a safe way.
Right, as well sure. as the county. The county stimulus package that we talked about.
Well, and those are for businesses definitely to
yes.
apply for.
Yes.
There's money for grants for small
right.
businesses in the county,
right.
in all the cities.
Yes.
In the last report, they still had money left to lend,
yes.
to give out.
Yes.
Not lending, you have to pay it back. To give out if you've been
it's
impacted
more
by
like
COVID.
A grant. Yeah.
So
and it's
definitely
due
talk to those.
December 2nd. So now's the time. If you are a small business or a business in need, please do take advantage of that money. It'd be a shame to let it go to waste.
Right. But definitely take advantage of the online shopping, curbside pickup. If you're planning to go get your holiday shopping done the day after Thanksgiving, like normal, but you have to do it differently this year, still consider our small businesses in all of our communities because that's important.
It is. Curbside pickup for the win.
There you go. And
it's just more convenient anyway.
And I've been doing takeout food forever.
I was going to say, I think you've been living on takeout
food
forever.
Well, that is true.
I've seen your kitchen, though, and it's amazing to me that you have such a kitchen. Given your penchant for takeout food.
Well,
side
note. That's true. But Thanksgiving's coming, so maybe we'll fire up the stove
yeah.
and burn the dust off
the
it.
The 3 stoves or whatever you have.
Burn the dust off the stove.
Burn the dust off of it.
There you go.
Very good.
Okay,
cool.
All right, everyone. Stay safe and stay well. We will be back on Monday, of course. So take care, everyone. And thanks for watching and listening. Bye-bye. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.